is our first annual Fantasy Supergroup Draft. It is the 40th edition of the FDH Lounge, and the first time we're coming at you here on Wednesday nights here on the Sports Talk Network. This is, of course, the show where nothing is off topic, and it's a very special show here tonight. Normally, in the last hour of the lounge, as it is presently constituted, it would be a show within a show. The FantasyDraftHelp.com Insider from 9 to 9:30, the Goon Squad talking hockey from 9:30 to 10. That'll be the case next week. We'll be back in our new Wednesday night format, but first night out of the box, we're already breaking format here. We've got our Fantasy Supergroup Draft. We've been giving you recaps as we're going along here. We'll keep doing that as we keep going here. We come back around now to Buck Woodward, who's going to be making some picks here. End of the fourth round, beginning of the fifth round. Buck Woodward, of course, from our Pro Wrestling Insider show here on the network, and of course from PWInsider.com. Buck's team thus far, he had the first pick out of the gate tonight, and he made a pick that some of the other people indicated out loud might well have been their first pick, Les Claypool on base. Base being a position where a number of us indicated we were probably less familiar, less comfortable making choices there than other positions. So Buck solidified his team right off the bat at a position where, again, some of us might have felt vulnerable making picks. He got an ace right away. He followed it up with Kurt Hammett on guitar, Dave Grohl on the wild card. So Buck still needs a wild card, a drummer, and a front man. So you have two picks here, Buck. You'll be taking two out of those three coming up.
I just want to say, Buck, before you pick, if you snake me, I'm driving up there tonight.
Okay.
It's a long ride. Yeah.
It's a long... Especially since you'll probably be going in the wrong direction.
But... That's true.
Here we go. My thought, when I first thought about doing the fantasy draft, I was thinking, you know, classic rock. And then the more I thought about it, if I got snaked on a pick here or there, I needed guys who are versatile. That's why I picked Les Claypool, somebody who could be heavy and hard rock, but he could also be funky. Kirk Hammett, obviously the most experimental member of Metallica, one of my favorite bands. Dave Grohl, again, drumming, guitar playing, singing. He can do a poppy song, like with Foo Fighters. He can do a grunge song, obviously, Nirvana. And if for nobody that's heard the Probot Project, he can do some metal.
Oh, yeah.
So, my idea was to pick guys who could do different styles. We weren't necessarily locked in. Like, Kirk Hammett could do a bluesy thing, or he could do straight-ahead thrash. And I'm going to keep that going, and I got to be honest, I am stunned here. I had a list of four drummers, and I figured I would let everybody else pick, and then I would pick out of who was left. All four of my drummers are still available, so I'm going to have to pick one. I'll tell you who I didn't pick first. I'm not picking Danny Carey from Tool, who's on my list.
Okay.
I'm not picking Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver, Guns N' Roses, and I'm not picking Charlie Benanti of Anthrax, who I think is tremendously underrated as a drummer. My drummer pick, which is my next pick, is going to be Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and soon-to-be Chickenfoot.
Very nice.
Okay.
So I've got Les Claypool on bass, I've got Kirk Hammett on guitar, I've got Dave Grohl doing whatever I decide he does, I've got Chad Smith on drums, and to kick off the next round, I'm going with my other wild card pick. And once again, I'm going with somebody who can do a dozen different things, a lot like Dave Grohl, and can fit into a heavy motif or a more alternative alternative motif. My next wild card pick, Trent Reznor.
Okay.
Very nice. I was wondering when he was going to go.
We saw the prototype earlier on, Anthony taking Tom Scholes, looking for a guy who can fill a lot of different spots there. Trent Reznor doing the same. What's very interesting, Buck, because again, we weren't sure how much of this you'd be able to do with us here tonight. I'm glad you've been able to be on as much as you've been able to. You emailed me a list here this morning, and I said to you at the time, I had no idea how this was going to go, if there's going to be a lot of groupthink, or if you were going to need to go deeper, because you went five deep at every position and then five deep at wild card. It's striking to me how many of your guys are left at every position here. We all have been divergent in what we're doing,
which makes it more difficult at times because you start playing around. And I got to be honest, there were some people, and before I reveal my last pick later, I'll mention some of them. There were people who I thought about, but then as I look at my lineup, I go, you know what? So-and-so's a great musician, right, but he's not going to fit into the group, right, I'm forming now. So you kind of, you switch allegiances a few times.
I've hit that 1,000 times in the past 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, you know what?
Came up with a date.
Buck, you should see it. I mean, we've got he was showing me the slips of paper. These are just covered in entire bands. He formed entire bands. Like, if I get this guy, I want this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy to go with him. It's amazing.
I'm pulling this out of my rear end. Half these guys weren't even on the list I gave you an hour ago.
I know. He's been like in a cave for the last couple weeks. You know?
Believe me, I wish I could have done that.
I mean, this guy's been like Bill Belichick in the film room getting ready for this thing here.
Matt lives his life in a
yeah.
cave.
Oh, it is remarkable here. Trent Reznor, yeah, I mean, that's versatility right there. The one thing I will note, you at this point still don't have a front man yet. I don't have a front man. Most of us don't at this point here. And the thing I will say, Buck, is I'm sure you're running into this as you're looking at your team. It becomes a challenge because, again, the front man's going to be, in a big literal sense, the face of the band. But trying to meld somebody to what you've got there without them overpowering the combination you've put together to fit with it, I know I'm finding it really challenging.
Yeah, part of me is tempted not to even have a front man, but I know I have to pick one, and I've got a few guys in mind. So.
Yeah.
Instrumentals, that's how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
all for that.
Yeah, how about that? Oh, yeah, Pat will give you points for that one there. Absolutely. Well, here's the team. Trent Reznor was on Buck's team. Anthony, as I said earlier on, did very much the same thing, and it was a name that was evoked as being similar in many ways to Trent Reznor. Tom Scholz as his wild card, Jack Blades bass, Peter Frampton guitar, Roger Taylor drums. Anthony is another team that doesn't have a front man and doesn't have a second wild card at this point.
With my second wild card is where I'm going to go right now, and I've, you know, this name came to me today, so I guess what works is last minute because it seems to be working for Buck. But, you know, preparation, you can prepare all you want, but when it comes comes time to actually making it seem right, it's last minute. And I thought, what a great rhythm guitarist to have as a wild card. Nobody better than Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh, okay.
But see, for his band, that's a really good fit for the lineup he's doing.
That is. It's
an awesome fit.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, as you look at it here, it's
like a Ringo Starr all-star band.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, hey, this is a band that could give Retro a good name because you're looking at it. I mean, these guys are timeless, you know, when you see what they can all do. It's interesting. I mean, you compare that band, it's got a completely different identity, say, than Tony's band, or a completely different identity than Jason's band, whatever that might be. Or nah, I love you, Jason. It's an interesting thing. I can't wait to see Jason's last two picks. I know he's got a plan. I can't wait to see it materialize. But Anthony's got an identity all his own with what he's putting together here. Joe Walsh to go with that. Next up, Matt Patrone. He's got Michael Anthony on bass, Brian Mann guitar, Joe Perry is his wild card, Michael Cardalone on drums.
I think I'm going to take my last wild card as well. And I was going to use Tom Scholz as my wild card because, you know, like I said, he can do anything. But I would plan on him like the keyboard kind of thing. But I'm going to go with Dennis DeYoung from Styx.
Nice.
Ooh.
From my wild card on that.
But I was wondering if he was going to even go in the draft.
What's that?
I was wondering if he was going to even go.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking long and hard. And
well, what
wild card or front man?
Wild card.
You know what? Elaborate on that there, Sam. Again, with you being the FDH entertainment editor there, is it something where you thought that his skill set was maybe going to be a little bit overlooked by us here tonight?
Yeah, I thought the entire Styx band was going to be overlooked. Because, you know, I've been having conversations with numerous friends about this draft coming up, and I would mention, you know, Dennis DeYoung or even Tommy Shaw, and they'd be like, oh my God, I completely forgot about them. It's just like no one ever thinks of them.
Tommy Shaw and Dennis DeYoung and one other from Styx was also on my list of...
JT? JY, I mean?
Yeah. There were a couple of the ones there, really, that you could have gone with. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had some musicianship there, you know, top to bottom. They're one of the bands that probably stands out in that way. Comes now for my team. What I've got with my band thus far, Geddy Lee bass, Steve Smith drums, Steve Vai guitar, Eric Johnson wild card. And as I said before, a number of us didn't have front men yet at this point, myself among them, and I can't put it off any longer because I'm struggling to find somebody whose identity is not going to overpower the rest of the band here at this point. There's a lot of very charismatic front man. I count this guy as having some charisma myself, but I think he can play some different things here. I referenced before a couple of my favorite groups, Stone Temple Pilots being among them, but you look at them and you look at Velvet Revolver, and those were really kind of different entities here. I'm going to go with Scott Weiland as my front man because, and I'm going to, I guess this is sort of the rock and roll equivalent of taking, I don't know, what a Plexico Burris perhaps with a pick here, you know, and just hoping for the best, hoping it all goes well, you know.
You had a pretty reliable lineup until that point.
Yeah, you know, fingers crossed here, you know. I mean, you know, if he ends up back in rehab tomorrow, the whole band is, you know, on the DL. But, you know, right now, for what it's worth, I mean, I think a lot of people would tell you, you know, you're looking at vocalists out there pound for pound, and I think he's more versatile than a lot of the other guys I was looking at here at this point. I've tried to build a band around versatility, and again, two of my favorite three groups, Rush and Stone Temple Pilots, I'm just getting off on the whole Geddy Lee, Scott Weiland thing, together at last in this band, so... Those are that was my pick there. We come now to Paul Belfi, who I know our judge Pat has indicated is a team he really likes. Joe Satriani guitar, Billy Sheehan bass, Ronnie James Dio frontman, Carmine Appice drums. Pat, let's just shovel the pressure on him here at this point. He can't blow it right now, can he? I mean, this is a team you're really liking thus far.
Yeah, and he says that he's going to come up with one that's going to blow us away. So I can't wait to hear what it's going to be.
I can sum it up for you in two words. My wild card pick is also a keyboard player, and he is John Lord from Deep Purple.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Pat liked that one.
John Lord made keyboard playing cool. For hard rock and heavy metal.
Yep.
Deep Purple were innovators. People forget about Deep Purple. You forget. Ian Pace, Ian Gillam on vocals, John Lord, Richie Blackmore was in there. Come on!
And still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't understand. But you know what? You know what? Neither is Kiss, and people can say what they want to say about Kiss, but Kiss deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That should be another topic for the FDH launch one day. Acts
Rush.
That are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that Rush. Damn well should.
Rush.
Genesis.
Boston. Genesis. Rush.
Thank you.
Who, I'm sorry?
Boston.
What'd you say, Sam?
I said Genesis, thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Genesis, Def Leppard, Kiss. I mean, it's ridiculous, sure, but yet, you know, they'll put in freaking... You know, I don't know, side projects
Madonna.
Before they put in real bands.
Madonna's right. In the Hall of Fame. Stupid John Mellencamp.
I don't have a problem with Madonna or John Mellencamp because they were leaders and they sold a ton of music in their era and they're still relevant today. Madonna's tour right now is making some big ass money.
But it's also what influenced music, and I don't think many people were influenced by. Madonna.
Oh, really?
However,
oh, really? I would think that Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, the list goes on and on, would disagree with you.
Did you completely miss the 90s?
By the way, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and the list goes on and on of female stars are making boatloads of cash. Oh, who's got the number one album in the United States this week? I believe it's Britney Spears with over half a million units sold.
I agree with that, but that's a different genre than rock and roll. But, however, Peter Frampton, not in the Hall of Fame.
And that's a travesty.
Yes. Iron Maiden isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Right, that sucks.
See, yeah, Maiden isn't in the Hall of
Fame.
Metallica is going into the Hall of Fame before Iron Maiden. That's messed up.
Yeah, it is. No, okay, now let's table this Hall of Fame talk for the next FDH Lounge because this could be a three-hour show in and of itself, being that we are based in the city of rock and roll and the home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We should get some people from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as guests on the FDH Lounge. We'll make sure that happens, but in a respectful way because they are soon to be advertising with us.
Oh, very
nice. Let's get Jen Wiener from Rolling Stone in here to try to...
Yeah, Jan Wenner, that freaking meat flute... Never mind.
Yeah.
anyway.
And P.S., interesting fact about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Out front is where Jason proposed to me.
Oh, really?
Really?
Well, that's kind of...
Yeah.
Well, that kind of put a damper on the discussion. But anyway, no, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing.
Was he playing Bootsy Collins or Zach Brown?
Anyway, back to more important things like my selection of John Lord. I believe John Lord is a perfect complement for my supergroup. I think it fits in with the vibe, with Satriani, with Sheehan, with Dio, with Carmine Appice, John. It doesn't matter who my last pick is. It doesn't matter.
Rick Springfield.
But wait till you hear who I've got. And I was teasing when I said I was going to pick Rick Springfield as Mr. Irrelevant. I'm not doing that because I am not going to bastardize my supergroup. Every great band needs what, gentlemen? They need great songs, and I have got the songwriter that would fit with this group that will blow your mind away.
Well, and maybe this is the mark in me as I'm looking at this here, but you mentioned John Lord, you mentioned Deep Purple, maybe it's me being a mark. All I can picture is the Queen of Francine strutting around in the ring.
It's a good man right there,
Queen
Rick.
Of Extreme, baby. Francine.
The Queen of Extreme, baby.
Exactly. Good old Francine.
Buck, let me ask you a question, and then I would like to ask our esteemed judge. Let me ask you first, Buck, your thoughts on my groups thus far.
I'm liking your group, however, I'm thinking you may have a rules violation here.
How so?
I believe Ronnie James Dio and John Lord were in Rainbow at the same time.
You know what?
Oh.
That's right.
No.
Really?
No.
They weren't?
Are you sure?
No, John Lord never played in... I was thinking of that too, actually. It's funny you mention that. No, John never played in Rainbow.
Okay.
Yeah, Rainbow was an offshoot of Deep Purple, but Rainbow had Ritchie Blackmore, Jolyn Turner, and
another friend of mine, Dave Rosenthal, actually had played, and also another friend of mine, Don Airey, played keyboards too.
Right, right. Pat, have you ever heard of a keyboard player by the name of Derek Hilland? He used to play for Whitesnake and Iron Butterfly.
What about him?
Have you've heard of a keyboard player named Derek Hilland?
Yes.
What'd you think of him?
I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, he's tremendous.
He's awesome. Actually, John Lord played in Whitesnake in the original version after David Coverdale left Deep Purple.
That's correct. That's correct. Derek Hilland, by the way, gentlemen, along with a bass player who I'm sure Pat knows very well, by reputation at least, by the name of Matt Bissonette, one of the most underrated musicians walking the planet Earth and an in-demand studio musician, as is his brother, and Buck will know his brother, former David Lee Roth band drummer Greg Bissonette, another highly sought-after studio musician, underrated drummer to the max. Matt Bissonette and Derek Hilland play with Rick Springfield. That's all I need to say.
It comes around full circle.
Yeah,
it?
Exactly. By the way, fair warning to Paul Belfi, because I just came up with a wild card. I am swinging from the heels in the last round here with my wild card pick. I may yet salvage this thing here when you look at the versatility I'm about to add. But in the meantime, we got Samantha coming up here. Flea, Neil Peart, Tom Morello, Mike Shinoda in the band thus far. You still need a front man, Sam, and you still need another wild card.
All right, I'm going to wait on my last wild card because it's going to take some explanation and no one knows who she is. So, but it'll make perfect sense later.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with my front man, and I've been debating between a couple people trying to figure out like who's going to fit the best or whatever, and I've been trying to get Jason's opinion, but he's really no help in this situation. But looking at my team, I need someone, kind of want someone who sings more than screams, you know, because my taste tends to run more towards the metal side. But I think I am going to go with Steven Tyler.
Ooh.
If I would have went that way, that would have been a snake.
You know what? And I had somebody say to me recently here that, you know, when you think front man, when you think the charisma, I don't remember who made that point to me when we were talking about this, but I had somebody say that and make that point. I thought in my head that was a very good point here. Let's ask the pro out of the bunch here. Pat, I mean, that's when you're thinking front man, when you're thinking somebody to come in there and just, you know, lead and have that kind of charisma on stage, it's pretty hard to top that guy, isn't it?
I don't think you can. How can you? I definitely don't think that. But I love that combination, too, of Flea and Neil Peart. I'd love to hear that. That's a pretty strong combination.
That is. Well, very, and a very interesting hint there from From Pat. Okay, so Samantha's probably top tier as we're sitting here right now.
The only thing I want to say about that pick, Sam, is I don't know how Mike Shinoda and Steven Tyler would actually fit.
You know what? I'm really intrigued, though.
It's intriguing, but I don't know.
Well, if you think Mike Shinoda is probably going to keep his mouth shut the whole time and just play the piano.
Yeah, but you know what? And that's the whole thing here, too, that with these interchangeable pieces, like, for example, the guy I'm going to take with my wild card in the last round, I can't say that I know he's going to play every song with this group here, but it's the ability to deploy somebody. And if you wanted to put Shinoda in there in any kind of way like that, you could. Or you could have him on the instrumentals. So,
and plus, with Steven Tyler, you get the harmonica too.
True.
That's true. That's true. How about the harmonica with Shinoda rapping over that? That would be kind of
that's pretty hot right there.
That would be badass. That would. There's all kinds of things you could do. All right, Jason's group here. Like I said, I cannot wait to see the plan continue to come together here. Zach Wild on a wild card, Bootsy Collins on bass, Herman Lee on guitar, Chester Bennington the front man, and as we said, any of the combinations specifically are really intriguing here. Zach Wild, Bootsy Collins is what everybody zeroes in on, but how about Bootsy Collins, Chester Bennington? How about a shredder like Herman Lee with Bootsy Collins? You know, there's all kinds of things here. Jason, let's hear your fifth pick.
Well, the beauty of this is Bootsy Collins is not the only sort of Sesame Street one of these does not belong situation. There will be a pick later that adds a different flavor along the same lines of thinking as Bootsy Collins. But if you look at the rest of it, with the exception of Zach Wild, really, I'm looking for speed, complexity, and degree of difficulty, if that makes any sense. So I'm going to go with one that I don't think anybody on the panel really listens to on their own time. I doubt that anybody has this CD in their car. But I'm going to go with drummer Joey Jordison from Slipknot.
Wow.
Based on degree of difficulty and speed.
Hey,
and we have a musical selection ready if you'd like.
You know what? Talk about that here, Pat. You know, as the pro, as a drummer, no less here. Talk about that. I thought I heard of a note of appreciation from you there.
Yeah, that would be. I can imagine Zach Wild with Joey. That would just be brutal.
You know what? That's great. See, my man did have a plan here. Jason was working a plan here the whole way, and there it is. Joey Jordison pairing up with Zach Wild. I can't believe we're at the point now of the last two picks of Tony's team. Tony, thus far, and we talked about this before, coherent teams, coherent bands here, themes. Tony's going for a certain place in time and a certain place in geography here. Chris Cornell, frontman. Jerry Cantrell, guitar. Taylor Hawkins, drums. Robert DeLeo, bass. Thus far here, you have a very coherent, defined team here. Two wild cards yet to go.
Well, you know, Chris Cornell, great voice in music. He's been around for 20-plus years. His voice is getting a little shot. Maybe the cigarettes and alcohol probably didn't help. But
I don't know. He was really good on the Project Revolution tour I saw this summer.
Oh, yeah, he was good. I saw him a year ago and just did excellent. But his voice doesn't sound completely the same as it was during Black Hole Sun when that came out. But so I'm going to have someone else compliment him as a backup singer. I'm going with Kevin Martin from Candlebox.
Ooh.
Kevin Martin.
A gentleman.
That's a nice combination.
A gentleman who will be a guest on the On Tour Music Show in the next few weeks.
Really? Okay.
And that's not why. But
that is a very interesting.
Sure, it's not.
Kevin Martin. See, and when you were saying that you were going to go for somebody very similar there, I was thinking Michael McDonald, so you swerved me.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I got swerved on that one there. So, all right, Kevin Martin.
That's my wild card.
The pick on wild card. Still one more wild card to go.
Well, I'm going with a band that is accredited as the first grunge band. I am going with a guitarist. He's going to be my rhythm guitarist. I am going with Joey Santiago from the Pixies.
Ooh. Joey Santiago. All right. That's old school as far as that goes with the genre there. So Joey Santiago rounds it out here. And just to recap, the team that we have for Tony, now reading it for the first time, and it's... and it's Complete Nature here. Chris Cornell, frontman. Jerry Cantrell, guitar. Taylor Hawkins, drums. Robert DeLeo, bass. Kevin Martin, wild card. Joey Santiago, wild card. And a tight team, tight unit, again, as far as what Tony's trying to accomplish with this band, what he's trying to evoke, is easier to see than maybe just about any other team aside from possibly Anthony. But even Anthony's team, you know, while it's got kind of a general old school type of vibe, Tony's probably has, I think many of us, if not all of us, would agree, it's probably the most coherent in terms of genre. So he's putting all his chips on that one there. He's putting everything, you know, all his chips on red here, so to speak, and we'll see how that works for him. I've got Jason coming up here now. Zach Wild, wild card. Bootsy Collins, bass. Herman Lee, guitar. Chester Bennington, frontman. Joey Jordanson, drum. And it's a team here where the last pick and Wild, that ended up getting put over pretty strong here by Pat. Pat ended up being impressed with that. So let's see if you can build on that with your final round pick here, Jason.
Well, as I said on the last go around here, we're looking at complexity, degree of difficulty, and all that. Then you throw in Bootsy Collins, which I know a lot of people aren't too crazy about, putting sort of a funk bass line into this whole approach. And I can't even if I gave you the name of the person, I don't think anybody would know what it is. So we'll give you a little musical hint first. But keep in mind, if you thought Bootsy was odd, this one's really going to blow you away.
You firing up the beatbox?
He's playing a Casio?
Oh, I know that guy! Is he sitting there with a keyboard going dong, dong?
Okay, for those of you who don't know, that gentleman's name is Scruffy Wallace. He is the bagpipe player for the Dropkick Murphys.
Oh,
they just broke up.
I would say the guy who invented Pong, but that's okay.
Nice. Hey, Jason, for that joke, all we heard was dong, dong, dong. We didn't really hear it. So
two points for the judge here. Scruffy Wallace, okay, a wild card pick here. And I think we know what our most eclectic band of the evening is here, but again, from the now defunct Dropkick Murphys. So we've got that as the selection here. Now comes to Samantha. She's got thus far Flea on bass, Neil Peart drums, Tom Morello guitar, Mike Shinoda wild card, Steven Tyler frontman.
All right, I'm gonna kind of take after Jason here with my last wild card pick. You guys probably aren't going to know who she is, but she is a violinist, and she's on tour with Josh Groban, actually, as his violin soloist. But I have a little clip of her playing a song that I hope you'll recognize if you can hear it, so hang on.
Okay.
I hope you can hear that because it is Kashmir on the violin.
I have heard that before.
I was going to say, that was bringing back bad memories of food poisoning in an Italian restaurant. But
hear that, or it was Devil Went Down to Georgia.
I thought it was Igor from Young Frankenstein. So.
Yeah. See?
I know, it's kind of hard to hear it over the thing. But go look up this one. Her name is Lucia Micarelli. Definitely go look her up because she does some pretty amazing things with violin. She plays Kashmir on the one DVD I have, and she also does Bohemian Rhapsody on the violin.
Sweet.
Really? Okay.
I want to hear her pronounce her name.
Look her up, because not only does she do like the kind of rock stuff, but she's also very classically trained and can play anything you can come up with. You throw a song at her, she can probably play it on the violin.
Very interesting. And you know what? And again, when it comes to versatility, when it comes to that kind of stuff here, certainly our judge tonight, Pat Gesualdo, certainly embodies that with his body of work over the years here. Pat, we just got two picks right out of left field here, these last two ones, these wild cards. Talk about your thoughts on that. I know you've played with all kinds of different guys here. Talk about those last two.
I think they're just phenomenal, and I'd have to say they're absolutely tied because they're so great combinations. I wouldn't know which one to pick over the other. The versatility-wise, I think it's just awesome and just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's they were certainly very creative. I mean, and mine, really? When I got coming up, and I'm on deck. I'm the one after this as far as the pick that my final pick of the evening here.
I have,
but well, I know, but I'm after Paul, who's up with the next one here. But mine is eclectic, but it's way. I mean, it's practically a household name compared to the last two that we heard here.
Yeah.
You know, I think anything probably would be compared to those. So, props for the creativity. Before we go to Matt, who I know has the next pick that Paul Belfi left with him here, I've been asked to toss it now to Buck Woodward, who is going to explain, and asked via instant messaging. This isn't voices in my head, but I got an IM here from Buck. He says that Paul has cheated, shouldn't be allowed to make his next pick here. So, Buck, please elaborate.
Something struck me as fishy about Paul's lineup. There was a group in 1974 called Ashton and Lord, featuring John Lord.
Yeah.
Guess who the drummer was for that group?
Ian Pace.
Let's see.
What did Pat say?
It was Ian Pace.
It was.
No, it was Carmine.
Oh, Carmine was in there too?
Yep, he played on the first of the big bands album.
Ricky, please bring up Wikipedia.
I am. I'm looking for Ashton Lord on Wikipedia. That was my first. Hard to believe it's not page one on Google for them. That is. Don't even tell me they don't even have a Wikipedia page, but that is...
Here, wait a minute. Here, I'll send you the link, because I looked it up.
Well, I hate to rain on the raining of the parade here, but I have a feeling that if we told Mr. Paul Belfi that he was in violation and his punishment is to not pick a songwriter at this point, I really don't think he's going to be too upset.
I just do it to bust Paul's stones. So.
Well, actually, okay. You sent me the link here, and I'm gonna look at this. But again, I believe we had confirmation from Pat here. And as far as I'm concerned, our esteemed judge, with everything that he's done in the business and knows about, that's good enough for me. So, Pat, this is confirmed that two of these guys have been in a band together.
Yeah, which one? With Carmine, you mean?
Yeah. Carmine and John Lord, is that...
That, honestly, I don't know.
Okay, I'm looking to see here. Whereabouts am I supposed to be looking on this page here?
Scroll down to where it says March 1974.
March 1974, gotcha. Ashton and Lord. Let's see. John Lord is mentioned there. Carmine. Yeah. I don't know the spelling of the name that Paul gave me, but I'm assuming that is the same guy.
I think it's APPICE.
Okay, well, we have confirmation.
Well,
if he were here...
I screwed Paul, yeah!
That's the second time he's cheated.
If he were here, I'd give him another shot on this, but he left the building. Well, I'll tell you what.
Maybe that's why he left. He knew this.
Okay, that might well be. Well, I know, in fairness, Jim, he also was sick. Okay, so this is now exhibition baseball, if you will. Let's hear his pick, but we can't include him in here because of the violation of the rules that was uncovered.
Okay, well, he informed me that he had to leave because his grandmother was sick, or his mother, or whoever. He had to leave.
Oh, see, now I feel bad.
But that's what he told me. I don't know. I think it's more along the lines that he didn't want to give Anthony the $60 he owes him.
No. He was he was calling in gay today.
Remember? Oh,
there you go.
Nice.
But he gave me three names to pick from, and then as he was walking out, he said he wanted his last wild card to be Sammy Hagar. The other two names he gave me, Robert Plant and Jimmy Page for his songwriters, but he said Sammy Hagar on his way out the door.
Sammy Hagar. Mm. The pick here.
It doesn't much matter because
yeah,
it don't much matter now.
I guess he's disqualified. So I mean, what we could do, and this would be nice little salt in the wounds here. We can see if he would have won. Let's have it ranked 1 through 8 by Pat at the end here, knowing that Belfi's doesn't count. And part of me is rooting for him to come in first now, in as much as he has to. he's getting black flagged. So the part of me that's hardened and bitter would kind of like that. The next pick here comes to me, and I'm kind of looking along the same lines as Sam and Jason as far as going outside the box here, my last pick. But it's in a different way, and as I said, it's somebody who is, I mean, this guy's a friggin' celebrity compared to who they took. I mean, I'm not putting down the musicianship of them, not at all, but it's a thing where...
Sure sounds like it.
It's not, no, it's not an obscure pick. It's you don't have to be like Mr. Hardcore or Mrs. Hardcore Music to know who this is. I've got thus far Geddy Lee, Steve Smith, Steve Vai, Eric Johnson, Scott Weiland. I've tried to go for things where I feel like I could go in any number of different directions here. This last guy that I'm adding to the band here, maybe you wouldn't use him on all of the songs, but I like the ability to use him at least on some of the songs, on the keyboard, if you're looking at keyboard, synth, whatever. I'm kind of a sucker for some good jazz pop while I'm at it. I'm going to say Donald Fagen for my last pick. And I don't know how it's going to be judged to fit in with the rest of the band here. At the very least, I think everybody would have to admit the pieces themselves are very impressive when you look at the musicianship of this group top to bottom.
Extremely.
Thank you. I'll submit myself to your judgment when we're all done, Pat, as far as the meshing of it. But, yeah, I mean, on paper, I'm liking it. We'll see what your judgment is at the end. We come now to Matt Patrone. We're only three picks from the end here. Michael Anthony, Brian May, Joe Perry, Mike Cardalone, and Dennis DeYoung thus far. As I look at this, you got everything but a front man, Matt.
Yep, and this is the one I was actually didn't think he would go, and I kind of really knew he wouldn't. But I agonized over different names, and I just the range of his voice. I've heard him do Zeppelin songs. I've heard him do Queen songs. I'm going with Joe Elliott from Def Leppard.
Okay, Joe Elliott, and that is that's a pick right there. As you said, a guy with some versatility to him, and I think that's what you look for in this round. You know, somebody who is not going to overpower the rest of what you put together, but hopefully complement it. So, there's your front man in Joe Elliott, and. Next, we come to Anthony, who's got Tom Scholz on wild card, Jack Blades bass, Peter Frampton guitar, Roger Taylor drums, and Joe Walsh wild card. So you also need a front man, Anthony.
Well, you know, when putting this band together, the way I like it is because three of them can be front men and have been front men in their own right. So coming up with a front man to fit this band is definitely going to be a hard one. So I'm coming up with a voice that maybe not necessarily works well, but it fits, and it's a phenomenal voice. I'm going to go ahead and go with Steve Perry.
Steve Perry, okay.
That actually makes a lot of sense for that lineup.
Yeah.
It does. You know, you talked about that before, Buck, with that sort of Ringo Starr, All-Stars kind of vibe that he's got there. You could see Steve Perry fitting in with that.
Definitely.
I'm actually surprised that Steve Perry didn't go sooner.
Me too. I was worried for a while.
Yeah. You know, there's any number of guys, and there's going to be a lot of impressive musicians that aren't even going to get drafted. We'll run through some of those when we get done here. Buck has what they would call in the NFL draft the Mr. Irrelevant pick. Although there are no irrelevant picks in our music draft here tonight, but the 48th one to go off the board will join a band that includes Les Claypool on bass, Kurt Hammett guitar, Dave Grohl wild card, Chad Smith drums, Trent Reznor wild card.
I need a judge's clarification for my last pick.
Uh-oh.
Because I have two names here.
Okay.
And if one of them doesn't go because of the rules, then I got the other one. But can I include someone who had an album produced by Trent Reznor?
I would say yes, because Trent Reznor's not in the band. He's not in the band with Trent Reznor.
I would concur with that, yeah. Produced doesn't equal band. You know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think we're all in accord on that, Buck. So go with your first pick.
Okay, in that case, my front man with Les Claypool, Kirk Hammett, Dave Grohl, Chad Smith, and Trent Reznor, you need a big voice to stand out in a group like this. So I'm going with Rob Halford as my front man.
Ding the bell.
Rob Halford. That, you know, Rob Halford to get drafted on today of all days. You know, it is kind of amazing. It does kind of fit with the holiday theme of the day. But it's really... It's really an interesting.
Pick him, he's off today.
Yeah, very nice.
He doesn't work today.
Very nice. Yeah, exactly. He took the day off personally, although he got drafted. So some of the ones on my list that didn't get drafted here tonight, very interesting. Alex Lifeson, who I'm biased, but I think is a supremely underrated guitarist, undrafted slash Keith Richards, Billy Gibbons, Eric Clapton, Angus Young, George Lynch, all undrafted. Bass players, Steve Harris.
Carlos Santana.
Yeah, Carlos Santana.
Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen's a shock. I didn't. You know what? He wasn't even on my list because I thought he'd go way before I would get a chance to take him. That's one of the biggest surprises of the night. Bass, Steve Harris, Geezer Butler, Gene Simmons, Jack Bruce, Bill Wyman. Undrafted. Frontman.
Nikki Sixx never won for bass either.
Nikki Sixx, that's another one there. For frontman, I think melding somebody to your band, I think, is why some of these guys didn't go, the sense of how they would fit to a band here. The diverse list of names that I had here, Meatloaf, Michael McDonald, James Hetfield, Robert Plant, Bruce Dickinson, David Coverdale, David Lee Roth. Diamond Dave, undrafted. Amazing.
I'm surprised there weren't any females drafted, like, you know, Stevie Nicks or Pat Benatar.
I thought about Stevie Nicks, but then I decided to go with the heavier direction. If I got more classic rock, I was thinking Stevie Nicks.
I was thinking about Pat Benatar, but then,
eh. I thought about someone from L7, but, you know, what are you going to do?
You know, I'm really surprised that we don't see him on here, that Anthony Kiedis didn't go.
Yeah, Anthony Kiedis didn't go.
Nobody from Kiss.
Anthony Kiedis, also someone who is extremely overrated.
I thought about Amy Mann, but that's just me being a mark for the Hold Your Fire album right there that she had the guest vocals on. Drums, Ginger Baker.
Debbie Harry didn't go?
No, Debbie Harry didn't go. Drums, Ginger Baker, Stuart Copeland, Lars Ulrich, Alex Van Halen, Charlie Watts, all undrafted from there. So, yeah, a lot of ones that were really kind of out there. So what we're going to do here, I'm just going to...
Nobody picked Prince.
Nobody took Prince, yeah. Well, you know what? Again, that's the whole thing of how do you meld him to a group and not have him overpower, I think.
Meld him with Bootsy Collins.
Yeah.
I thought about it. Hey. I did think about it.
Paul was telling
me... Before we hand this over to the mercy of the judge, I want to say one real quick thing here.
You're like pleading with the governor for clemency right now, aren't you?
A little bit. But, you know, as I look across the board here, there's a huge representation of, you know, there's some hair bands, there's some members of bands that are primarily or at least made famous by crappy ballads, and I'm not trying to say that they're not worthy of being on this list. And last, I'd like to quote Justin Long from the fourth Die Hard movie, just because it's old doesn't mean it's classic. I would just like to say that a lot of these guys would get smoked if there was any sort of direct competition. Yeah. I'm not saying for me personally, I'm just saying there are some owners in this draft who have some individuals that are farly more superior than others, and I won't name any names, but they're very close together on the list. Of draft order.
Okay.
Well, thank you for praising my band like that. I appreciate that.
No, Buck's team is actually in my top two, if I was to get that specific.
I just want to point out, I'm not that bad a guy, and if I knew Paul's grandmother was sick, I would not have tried to get him disqualified.
Well, wait a minute.
Buck's trying to play for his personality right now.
At this point... Number one, knowing that his mom was sick and knowing that his grandmother passed away, I'm going to assume he meant his mom. Otherwise, we're getting into an Epstein's mom kind of a thing right here as far as excuses go. So I'm going to assume that it's his mom and that it's legitimate. Let's run through the bands one more time here. Buck has Les Claypool, Kurt Hammett, Dave Grohl, Chad Smith, Trent Reznor, Rob Halford, Anthony with Tom Scholz, Jack Blades, Peter Frampton, Roger Taylor, Joe Walsh, Steve Perry. Matt has Michael Anthony, Brian May, Joe Perry, Mike Cardalone, Dennis DeYoung, Joe Elliott. I, Rick Morris, have Geddy Lee, Steve Smith, Steve Vai, Eric Johnson, Scott Weiland, Donald Fagen, Paul Belfi, with his disqualified team of Joe Satriani, Billy Sheehan, Ronnie James Dio, Carmine Appice, John Lord, Sammy Hagar, Samantha with Flea, Neil Peart, Tom Morello, Mike Shinoda, Steven Tyler, and Lucia Machiavelli. Jason.
Lucia Machiavelli.
Lucia Machiavelli.
Get it right, Rick.
All right.
Violent Rick.
How could I mangle that pronunciation? I mean, it's practically John Smith. You know.
Say it with me. It's Lucia Machiavelli.
Okay.
Is it, not is that it, important.
Is it Machiavelli like the rap guy?
No, there's no V. It's an R.
Oh, all right. All right. Jason with Zach Wilde, Bootsy Collins, Herman Lee, Chester Bennington, Joey Jordanson, and Scruffy Wallace. Tony with Chris
Porter. I hear you laughing. Trying not to laugh
I'm
to
not,
get that out.
I'm not.
No, not to me laughing.
Yeah. I think you heard Anthony is failing to keep from laughing, not me. I'm being a straight man here. Tony with Chris Cornell, Jerry Cantrell, Taylor Hawkins, Robert DeLeo, Kevin Martin, and Joey Santiago, Team Flannel. So as we look at this here, I'm going to leave this up to Pat here. We can either take a five-minute break here if you want to take a minute here and slot these, or I know you've been thinking about this as we go along. Pat, it's up to you. What's the easiest for you? Can you slot these on the fly, or do you need a minute here?
It's up to you guys, whatever you need to do.
We're good either way. I just want to make it convenient on you. If you feel like you can go 1 through 8, and I guess we would start off at number 8 and work our way up to the champ. If you're ready to do that, we can. I don't want to rush you if you need another minute.
No, I think I'm ready.
All righty then. All right, let's get to it. Drum roll, please, here. Number 8, the number 8 selection in tonight's draft here. And again, let's give the Little League proviso. There are no losers in this draft here. There's just,
damn,
you know, higher grades of winners here, perhaps. Trying to be a humanitarian in advance. All right, number 8.
Way to be PC.
Yes, exactly. I can't do PC very well. But number 8 pick here, according to our judge here, Pat Gesualdo, and we're going to talk a little bit more here before the end of the program here. www.dadprogram.org, drums and disabilities. We're going to talk a little bit about Pat's work as an activist, as well as his strong background as a musician. And it is that background as a musician, the variety of Pat's experiences, the guys that he's played with in all walks of life here, that is basically forming as the background. It is the skeleton, basically, of what he's basing the judgments off of here tonight. So without any further ado, to the professional, Pat Gesualdo. Pat, take it away with number 8.
Okay, number 8. Let me just go over the names one more time. We have Buck.
Yes.
Right? Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes.
Right? Who's next?
Matt was third.
Matt, right?
I was fourth.
Yep.
Paul, fifth.
Yep.
Samantha, sixth.
Yep.
Jason, seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony, 8th.
Tony, right? Okay, yep, that's what I have. Okay, just double-checking everything. All right, I'm looking at my paper here. Number 8, I would say, would have to be... Matt.
Oh, okay. All right. That wasn't entirely the name I was expecting to hear, but it's interesting. It's got to be tough.
As far as last place, right?
He was the third guy here. The band you're Matt had Michael Anthony, Brian May, Joe Perry, Mike Cardalone, Dennis DeYoung, Joe Elliott.
Yeah, so we're going from last place to first place?
Yes.
Okay.
Working our way up.
Last place, I'd have to say Matt.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, buddy.
And I know it's got to be tough for you slotting these here, Pat, because you know, we all did a lot of research on this. Again, the thing that's a little bit of a stab, I don't think anybody worked harder than Matt, with the possible exception of Anthony. So, you know, that makes me feel guilty knowing that I came in ahead of him.
So wait, this means
and just remember that I'm going on, I guess, my personal feelings on the musicians,
sure,
and the styles.
Oh, sure.
And I guess we have to say that it makes this a little bit harder, is that I guess Paul is out of contention now, isn't he?
So it means it makes him 7.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
qualified,
what?
Right?
That's true. I mean, wherever Paul is, it's with an asterisk, because at this point it doesn't count. So, yeah, so technically Matt is 7th because he was disqualified. If Belfie was in, he would be 8th.
Okay.
So that's his band. So we'll take Paul sort of like as, you know, an exhibition game wherever he would get slotted in. So we start out with Matt in 8th and work our way up from there.
Okay. 8, I'd have to say Tony would be 7.
Okay.
Okay. 6th place would be... 6th place would be Buck.
Okay.
What? All right. It's because I screwed Paul, isn't it? I knew it.
This is...
Let's see.
You know what? I know you liked a couple of the Foundation guys in Buck's band, so I'm sitting here going, this must have been tough for you to slot these. This had to be very tough for you.
Well, especially with that Chad Smith deal, that was a good call.
Uh-huh.
And Les, I think that's a great combination, too.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's the, you know, so I'm looking at this here. I mean, some of the rest of us above that are probably separated by slivers at this point.
It's tough.
All right.
Okay. Speaking of which, let's see. Jason would be fifth.
Okay.
Well, see, now I'm really depressed. Jason finished ahead of me.
Now, he vaulted a couple places with the drum pick, didn't he, there? Because I know that got your attention. I mean, that probably saved him from a much worse fate, did it not?
That's true.
Okay.
Is true.
Okay. I kind of pieced that together from listening to you over the course of the night. Okay. All right. I'm in the first division. I'm feeling okay about that, at least. All right.
Let's see. Okay, we are at fourth, right?
Yeah.
Fourth would have to be... Oh, man, that's hard. Fourth would have to be Anthony.
Okay. All right. Anthony is in fourth, which, again, in actuality is third, because wherever Belfie comes in, it's just kind of... And obviously he's going to place very good, so it's kind of like a stab wherever he comes in, because, like, nah, you would have been first. But, we don't know that at this point, but... So everybody's basically one spot higher. But, yeah, I mean, if we include Belfie in it for these purposes, Anthony would be fourth. So at this point, I mean, the only names not yet called, myself, Paul, and Samantha, and I probably just jinxed myself right there.
Let's see. Okay.
Actually, you know what? Again, this is for the win, actually, between Samantha and myself, in as much as Paul's been disqualified. So, I mean, whatever...
Unless Paul's his number three pick.
Well, that's true. That's true. But assuming that it's not Paul for the next one here, we're going to know who our winner is.
It would have to be... who's left? Let me see.
It's Rick, Paul, Samantha at this point.
Yeah, Rick, Paul, and Samantha, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Rick. I would have to say Rick.
Okay. Next. Yeah, I knew it was too good to be true. All right. So there I am at this point. The only question yet to be answered is, would Paul Belfie have won this had he not made a disqualifying pick, or would it have been Samantha in any case here? So.
Well, again, based on my personal taste, I would have to say Paul is number one, but... And Sam is number two, but now it has to be Sam is number one.
All right, so...
So Paul would have won if we didn't screw him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Congratulations.
Thank you, and he would have had his own law firm.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome, Samantha.
Oh, and you know what? And again, you know, at this point, again, when I got down to the top three and knowing that Belfie was ineligible, I mean, from a business point of view, I couldn't go wrong. Either I win this thing or my entertainment editor wins it, and the person I pronounced as our favorite going into the event did, and she did win it, proving again why she is the entertainment editor for FDH, Samantha Jones. Samantha, take a bow, talk about your band.
I just tried to pull Flea a little bit from everywhere, you know. I love Flea. Listening to his, I've listened to a few of his bass solos, and they're just insane. Neil Peart, probably, arguably, the best drummer of all time. Tom Morello, some of his stuff that he does on guitar is just really interesting. Like, half the time you wouldn't even tell it's the guitar. Mike Shinoda, I'm horribly biased because Linkin Park is my favorite band. But he is extremely versatile. Steven Tyler... Legend right there. And then my last pick, Lucia Micarelli, she's just can play so many different styles on a very classical instrument.
And that was, I mean, that was kind of a theme of the last round there, between what you tried to do, what Jason tried to do
with Scruffy,
what I tried to do with Donald Fagen, with trying to paste a different element on there, and that was a common thread in the last round, Pat. Just, we were all looking for one more element that we could kind of paste onto this thing. Those of us that didn't need front
end. And you know what? If I wouldn't have taken Steven Tyler and had the harmonica with him, I would have taken John Popper.
Ooh, that would have been interesting.
Steven Tyler's a better pick.
Yeah, I agree. But I tell you, it was Sam. It was her. You know, the Flea Neil Peart combination. I think is great with the violin. It's just, I think, phenomenal. But Donald Fagen mix in there too is just, I think, great.
Yeah, I mean, talk about that, because I was swinging for the fences with that one there, Pat. So, I mean, you look at it in a sense, I mean, anything that he did, either his solo stuff or Steely Dan, is not necessarily anything you would think of along the lines of the other guys I got. Then again, I'm looking at it like, okay, Steve Smith's now doing jazz, so, you know, you don't have to use Donald Fagen on all of the songs. You could try and design some to take more advantage of his kind of stuff. I mean, as far as me finishing what was de facto second with Belfie being out of this thing here, did the Fagen thing help move me up the ladder any? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Oh, totally. And I'll tell you, I thought it was going to be like a Bootsy mix with, like, what do I want to say? Like maybe a Steve Vai, with another kind of jazz drummer, or a fusion drummer, funk drummer, but with the Chad Smith. I thought that would have been a killer combination. Bootsy and Chad, oh.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So me and Jason need to get together.
Hey, is this a league where we can do trades? Can we refashion the rosters? So thanks to everybody that was involved in the draft tonight, our judge, Pat Gisaldo, certainly among others here. Pat Gisaldo doing a great job as a judge here tonight. We appreciate it. Thanks to everybody. As always, at the end, yes, Jeff Neal also, yes, he was with us in the first hour as well, guest judging at that point in time. So as always, at the end of the show, we send our love to the baseball angel. We'll catch you next week, show number 41, episode 41 of the FDH Lounge.